Let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Receiving the word of God. Receiving the word of God. We look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which ye hear of us, you receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God is being preached to many, to the Jews, to the non-Jewish people. Some receive it happily. Some rejected it, thinking this is just another opinion of men. They do not receive it willingly. They do not benefit from the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And as the years pass by, we see the effects in their life. Take for example the Sunday school students who attend the Sunday school class. One became a church leader. Another one became a wanderer, even after 20 or 30 years attending the church. Because one took it as the word of God, the other one took it just another opinion of man. And this is a sad story, which I discover, of the two persons who attended a Sunday school in a neighboring country. So we see your attitude towards the Word of God determine the outcome of your life. Where are you going? What will happen to you in the future? The Thessalonians were God-fearing people. When the Apostle Paul went there to the capital city of the Macedonia in a Roman province, Thessalonica was a thriving trade center and seaport. The preaching of the apostle had brought many to believe in Christ, the promised Messiah in the New Testament. So as usual, the apostle traveled to the synagogue, which is the gathering center of the Jews and the God-fearers, and those who received the Judaism, to accept the teaching of Judaism. Some of them become fully proselyte. Some of them remain, did not fully proselyte. They did not receive circumcision for the men, but they are keen to know this living and true God. So the preaching of the apostle brought many to believe in Christ, because he pointed to the Old Testament, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So we see that the Apostle Paul did not preach something new, but he referred to the Old Testament, that the very Messiah they are waiting for, expecting, is this Jesus Christ who have come. He have suffered and he rose again from the dead. And all of you who are expecting the Messiah should trust in him. And some of them believed and consulted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief woman not a few. These are the influential people. And this is the message of the apostle is against the natural thinking of the Jews. Because the traditional Jews, they do not think the Messiah should have suffered. The Messiah should be a kind of military Messiah who come and defeat the Romans and establish the Jewish kingdom. And for the Greeks, it is unthinkable to think of a Savior who had been helpless and been crucified at the cross. And worse still, the Greeks do not believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. But we thank God that God has worked mightily in the hearts of the believers, whether they are Jews or Greeks. They have trusted in the gospel. So the Apostle Paul was very thankful because even though he was having a short stay there, limited time to teach them the word of God after they believe. But they believe in the word of God and they were able to stand the persecution that followed after. Because of the stirring of the unbelieving Jews, they were able to stand for the gospel and they bear forth good fruits and their name become a sweet-smelling name among the Christians in the Greek peninsula. Their name had become famous for the right reason, for Christ's sake, in the Macedonia, the northern part of the Greek peninsula and the southern part, in Macedonia and Achaia. And the apostle says, which ye heard of us, we receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth. This is the difference. If we think the very word of God, the biblical teaching, the gospel, and the gospel teachings, the Old and New Testament teaching we receive is the word of God, then we will appreciate it. If we think this is the word of man, then we depreciate it. It doesn't matter whether we believe or not. It's just another opinion. And the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we thank God that the Thessalonians were believers of the apostolic message which they have received. And the apostle did not invent the gospel message. They received from Jesus Christ himself. So they just pass on the Christian gospel. So it's the scriptures, the word of man, or the word of God. For those who don't believe in the Bible, who don't believe in the biblical teachings, they say, oh, some of it are the words of men. So they become critical of the word of God. And instead of promoting faith in the word of God, they become the seat as a judge of God's word. So eventually, the faith of the hearers are being eroded by the constant spread of doubt on God's word. But if we receive it, the biblical teaching as the word of God, not the word of man, then you will bear fruit in our life. What does it mean when we say it is the word of God? It does not deny human involvement in the composition of it. And God used different servants to write the word of God. The concern is the origin and the teaching of the Bible. Is it only reflect what man has to say, or is it is the word of God that God speaks to us through the scriptures, the authority of our faith and practice? And the Bible presents to us a human means, the very word of God. God have used human being to write his word, like the epistles in this instance. And this is the very word of God. When these epistles are being read in different churches, we have to accept it as if God is speaking to us personally. And God used his servants to speak to us the word of God, like the apostles. And God used his prophets to speak to us his message in the Old Testament. So in verse 13, we see the working of God's word. If you accept it as the word of God, you have the fear of God, you obey it, you take it seriously, it will bring forth good fruits in your life. And Christians become strong because they receive the apostolic teaching as the word of God. And they also pass on the gospel to others, and others also come to believe. Of course, we know that not everybody believes. As we spread the word of God, not everyone will believe. Some will believe, some will reject. And because of the mighty working of God's word in and among them, the Thessalonian church has become a strong church. Not because they have a lot of money, and not because they are very popular in the city. Actually, they suffer persecution due to the stirring of the Jews. The word Jews here referring to the unbelieving Jews. In the Gospel of John, we also read of this term. The Apostle Paul is not trying to create a kind of anti-Jew sentiment, but he is saying here the Jews, in this instance, they are the unbelieving Jews. Just like in the times of the Gospel, they are resistant to God, to the Gospel teaching of Jesus Christ. They cast doubt on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this instance, they also cast doubt on the motive of the servants of Jesus Christ, the apostles. And God's word conveys life to our souls in the same way the rain from heaven brings life to ground. In this hot season, dry season, how we thank God for the heavy downpour. Sometimes after many days, there was no rain. And sometimes you see the cloud appear and the cloud disappear. After many days, you're wondering how long will the drought season continue. But suddenly, there was a heavy downpour for 2 or 3 hours. He gives life to the earth, to the plants. He gives water to drink to the animals who are living in the wild. So in the same way, the preaching and teaching of God's word brings life and it revives the dry soul. And it revives the Christians who are weak and sick. Whenever there's teaching of God's word, there's a kind of revival, whether in big scale or small scale. Because the word of God conveys spiritual life. The word of God is God breath. The humanistic teaching cannot do much. It sounds very attractive in the beginning, but it cannot go far. Only the word of God. The word of God is being printed in those countries that profess atheism, isn't it? You find that it's very interesting. Those countries that profess there's no God, they are printing a lot of Bible in many languages and distributing around the world in an affordable price. Because the paper was donated by the Christians in another country. So the paper is free of charge. You just pay for the printing cost. And as a matter of fact, and those who are involved in printing are not interested in making a lot of money. They just want to spread it. Instead of you smuggle the Bible into our country, we better print it. We are in control. So we thank God in this sense that the Word of God have entered to those places where it is not supposed to be, isn't it? Many years ago, I read of stories that Christians in Malaysia try their best to bring Bibles to those countries where Bible is a forbidden book. But nowadays, there's no need. But it's very sad to say when you see a lot of Bibles, people are not reading. When there's little Bible, some Bibles are being torn into many pages. Some family may keep the Old Testament, certain books, some may keep the New Testament. When come together for private church meeting, they bring all the Bibles, different books together and read. But when you see a lot of opportunity to hear the Word of God and to know the Word of God, people are too busy for it, isn't it? Oh, we have no time. Oh, we have no time to read the Word of God ourselves. Oh, we have no time to listen to the exposition of the Bible. Oh, we have no time to go to church, isn't it? How sad. Let us take the Word of God seriously. Let us take the Word of God seriously. Bring your Bible. wherever you travel. But people say, oh, I have the handphone, but handphone got 1,001 things. We read the Word of God, suddenly this advertisement come up. And then message come up. And then this and that, you know. Finally, you don't know which one you want to read. But the Word of God, the printed Word of God, have only the Bible. So let us read the Word of God. Spend time, make time, whether morning or afternoon or evening, make a time for the Word of God. Read through. But you say, oh, it's so, sometimes it's so boring. Yes, we confess. Sometimes it's so boring. We don't know where are we going. The names, the places which are not familiar to us. But we read through the Word of God. One day, the Holy Spirit will make the sense of His Word to you. Then you receive the spiritual blessings. We know that all the things in this world are short-lived, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Only the word of God, the message, lasts forever. The rest of the things which you can see only endure for some time and no more. So God's word changes our mind so that we are able to make decisions to follow the will of God. If we read the word of God, if a family gather together to study the word of God, read the word of God, then the family decision or the individual decision, the value in life will be shaped by the word of God. Isn't it? How we treat people, how we treat money, how we treat the relationship with others is evaluated by the word of God. But if we just focus on this present world, this passing world, then our values are shaped by the latest trend in the market. You know, we will follow the popular trend. Then we are going to nowhere. And actually we are going to the way of destruction. The teacher of the Bible rejoices when the believer read God's word and treat God's word as God's word, and the word of God transforms the life of the believers. Because this spiritual food that enters into our life is supposed to change our relationship with God and our relationship with man. This is God's breath. This is no ordinary book. And that's why the enemies of faith want to destroy the book. Want to destroy the Bible. How sad when I walk into the Bible Society and the Bible Society says, very few people buy Bibles nowadays, including churches. People say, oh, I have electronic Bible. My electronic Bible is one of the many apps in your handphone. And you get a lot of distraction. When churches stop buying the Bible, the physical Bible, what is the future of the churches? I do not know. I see the future of the church is very grim. When Christians even don't buy Bible, even for baptism, churches don't buy Bible and give away to baptism candidates. What future has a church has? Yeah, people hear, wow, this church got a big following, 1,000 people, a few thousand people, but nobody buying Bibles. What is the staple food of the church member? If it is not the word of God, what will happen to the future of the church? May God help us to treasure the word of God, to continue in the faith. Because as we grow in faith from stage to stage, we face more resistance. We face more temptation. We face more trials. The apostle knew about the suffering of the Christian faith because he was one of the Jews that persecute the Jewish Christians. He mentioned about the Jews who persecute the Christians, who stir up trouble in Thessalonica. And he knew it very well, because as an unconverted man, a zealous Pharisee, he was one of the unbelieving Jews who was very against the Jews who have believed in Christ. He was dead against the gospel until the Lord Jesus Christ met him on his way for persecuting the church in Damascus. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 to 6, the parable of Jesus mentioned about spreading God's word. There are four types of ground, isn't it? As you remember the parable. One type of the ground is a rocky ground. And the Lord Jesus Christ explained it in verses 20 to 21. Some people receive the gospel message with joy. But when they go home, they face persecution from family members. If you believe in Christ, I disown you. The parents may tell the children. If you believe in Christ, let us go for divorce. The spouse may tell you. You know, some relationship with the spouse that come to that stage. You believe in Christ, are you serious? Yes, you go for baptism means you go for divorce. Let us split. Because the spouse did not believe in Christ. And those who believe in the Savior will be, by God's grace, able to endure the test of faith under trials. And God knows the level of trials we can go through, and God help us. God open a way for us. So, are you willing to endure trials for the Lord Jesus Christ? You suffer. Maybe you lose your family inheritance. The father tell you no more. No more share of the inheritance for you. No share for you. Get out from my house. Stop. I'm going to sack you. No more in the family company. Are you willing to remain faithful even you suffer losses for Christ? People lose their lives for Christ in the ancient time or in some places nowadays. But we may not lose our lives. We may lose our position. We may lose our job. We may lose our kind of honor in the family tree. Our loved ones cut off the relationship with us. And those who stand under trials will go on to influence the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Thessalonians, like the Thessalonian Christians. They continue to shine for Christ, even though they suffer. They bear the mark of suffering. In Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which beareth fruit and bringeth forth, and some and a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. We know that the word of God will, if we receive it as the word of God, we honor it, we appreciate it, we follow it, then our life will bear forth many good fruits. Unbelief will be challenged by God's word. You see, the world will continue to attack the word of God, will challenge the teaching of God's word, the value of God's word. Now we look at verse 15 to 16. The world will carry on mocking the word of God. See, what is the use of following God's word? Especially when you're young. Especially when you're smooth sailing in this life. Especially when you are put into a high position. They say, what is the use of God's word? What is the use of listening? What is the use of teaching the word of God? What is the use of listening to the Bible? The Bible is of no use except for those who are in their evening years. Oh, they are going to heaven already. Or they are preparing themselves for heaven. So you may read that for the next world, but not for now. They enjoy good life, especially the young people. Especially you are in the prime of your life, in your physical life. But think of the days. The day of darkness will come, like the book of Ecclesiastes says. Just like the unbelieving Jews who mocked the preaching of God's word, the Jews continue to attack those who preach the good news, like Paul the Apostle. The Jews, the Israelites. We are facing the bold attack from secular humanists who do not believe in Christ, who openly challenge the claims of Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we can observe there is a great movement around the world to remove Christ from the public sphere. For example, education. Get rid of it. We do not want to hear the name of Christ. Everywhere you can find the name of Christ, they try something to remove it so that people will not remember Christ. And the enemies of faith try their best to remove the gospel influence from education and the cultural spheres. Whatever Christian word, they want to get rid of it. They replace it with a secular word. And the Lord is very much displeased by such evil efforts. And some of these secular humanists are worse than those who profess to be atheists. They are worse than those who profess to be atheists. Actually, these secular humanists in the professing Christian world, Christian countries, what they did is worse than those who countries that profess to be atheists. Yes, they go to the very ground and dig up the whole thing and throw away so that the younger generation will no more be under any influence of Christ. They're so afraid. Why are you so afraid? If Christ is falsehood, I got no worry. If Jesus Christ represents falsehood, if Jesus Christ represents something that is not truthful, I have no worry because the lies cannot survive long. Why must I make a great effort to dig, to throw away from the root, the foundation stage? And the Lord is displeased by such evil efforts to hinder His good pleasure to bring salvation through His gospel to mankind. The Lord is very displeased. Look at those countries that reject salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. You look at what happened to them. You see for yourselves what happened to them. Look at the country. Look at the churches. Look at the society. What happened to them? So sad. We see that when people reject God consistently, persistently, making great effort to make the church empty, starting from Bible school. Poison the Bible school, then you poison the church. So the clergymen who graduated from the Bible school, they'll come and poison the church with false teaching, then the church become empty. Then the church sold by hundreds. Then the supposedly leader of the Christian church do not believe there's only one way of salvation. What will happen? So sad. And all these things are happening in front of us. As we read the news updates, we cannot help but sigh. We only can pray God will send His salvation, God will have mercy on the believing remnant in those professing Christian country. And those who refuse their salvation in Jesus Christ will have to face the righteous judgment of God. We are in sin. We have to face the wrath of God. The sword of God is hanging over our head. The judgment of God is coming. And there's a God who looks at the evils of man. He will take action sooner or later against us. And those who persist in rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who do not want to hear the gospel, and also hinder others from hearing the gospel. If I do not want to hear the gospel, and I don't hinder others to hear it, I'm not so evil. If I don't want to hear, I also hinder you from hearing, I'm very evil. And we have to face the wrath of God one day. And those who persecute Christians and the gospel of Jesus Christ will have to experience the advance installment of the coming judgment through their unbelief. We know that the evil forces are working very hard to stop people from Exodus. There's a Pharaoh working very hard to stop God's people from leaving the country. Let them stay. Let them become the slaves of sin. Let them continue to sin. Let them perish in Egypt. Don't let them go out, isn't it? But yet the grace of God even reached a persecutor of Christian faith like Saul. Now he's called Apostle Paul because he has two names, one Roman name, one Jewish name. Okay? And he said, I was a persecutor of the church. I'm not worthy. But yet the grace of God reached him. The grace of God reached him who is a chief sinner. Say, cry, Jesus, come to save sinners. And this is something, this is a trustworthy message of whom I'm the chief. If I'm the chief sinner, could be saved. All of you could be saved. He did not regard himself as a good man, as being a Pharisee who is very meticulous in righteousness, righteous living. Actually, Pharisee was emerged. This school emerged during the Greek time because the Greek Empire tried to influence the Jews to worship many gods and to follow their corrupt living. And there come a group of people, they separated themselves unto the Lord. Well meant, but over the years, they've changed, they've lost their direction. They become self-righteous. The Apostle Paul was a senior Pharisee, a very influential Pharisee. Self-righteous, but he did it out of ignorance. When the Lord revealed to him, he fell down and worshipped the Lord. And he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is pleased to use him, a former persecutor of Christian church, an unbelieving Jew, to hear the word of God. He received the word of God and he preached the word of God. Brothers and sisters, if we hear the word of God, let us do not harden our hearts. Let us receive the word of God into our hearts. Let the word of God do the cleansing in our hearts, do the building in our hearts, and work in our hearts so that we will do the pleasures of the Lord in our lifetime. And those who receive the word of God will not go wrong. You see, sometimes when we preach the gospel to people, they say, oh, no, I'm not going to believe. But I want to send my children to the church. Because I send my children to the church, I find that when they come up from the church Sunday school after many years there, I find that they are well behaved. This is a general observation of the non-Christians. They want the children to receive the word of God. They know that the church cannot teach them something evil. And when the children graduated from the Sunday school, they will not go to the wrong path. The word of God is the light in our pathway, isn't it? According to the psalmist. The lamp to guide us one step at a time in our journey on earth. Not only good for the children. I've been to a town founded by Christians, open, developed by Christians from China. It's more than 100 years old. There's something very strange happened in the town. The adults keep on sending the children to the Sunday school. They drop off, then off they go. Then Sunday school is over, they come and pick them up. The adults do not attend the church service. Only send the children. What will happen to the Christian witness? So, the word of God is good for the children, but not necessary, not a must for the adults. even though we thank God for the prosperous Sunday school ministry in the town. Basically, you go to the Sunday school department, a lot of students, so that even a sister church over there, they engage three vans to fetch the Sunday school children. Many people. But how about adults? We also need the word of God so that we will not fall in our adulthood. So that we will not err when we come to our evening years. So, brothers and sisters, let us receive the word of God, the apostolic message, the message from the New Testament and the Old Testament. We receive it as the word of God, then we will benefit from it. It helps us to repent from sins and help us to grow in Christian virtues. May God help us. We also need to learn from the virtue of the Berean. After Paul preached in Thessalonica, he went to this place called Berea, and he preached in a synagogue. And the people in Berea, they checked whether the message they received from the apostle is from the word of God. Of course, Apostle Paul preached according as he had commissioned the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they follow. And Berean church also become an exemplary church. The believing Jews there also trust in the Lord, and they also become a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this portion of scriptures that tell us to receive the apostolic message as the word of God. Father in heaven, we pray that I may grant us discernment in these days. There's so many who claim to profess, to come in Thy name, to speak in Thy name. Help us to check whether their message is from the word of God. And help us to appreciate the word of God and let it cleanse our lives and build up our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.